Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this evening. And no place I'd rather be with the people of God and experiencing what we can experience on a regular basis in the house of the Lord. God's presence is good. Everything that God does is good. We ought to just let Him do it here tonight. Amen. God bless every one of you. Great to have all of our guests here today as well. Look forward to meeting you, getting to know you. And we're going to turn to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 47. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know. I've heard a lot of preaching from this passage. I don't know that I've actually ever preached from this passage, for sure, the way that we'll look at it here tonight. But I'm excited to know and to see what all God will do before we get done here this evening. Ezekiel chapter 47, verse number 1. I'll read through verse number 9. Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under, from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. He's very detailed in this description of the vision that he is in right now. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate. By the way, you following along here? You know where he's at? Okay. Okay, good. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had held the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. Cubits about 18 inches, so he measured about 1,500 feet. And he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the ankles. And he measured 1,000, and he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. And he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The waters were to the loins, or the waist area. Afterward, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. And when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. And he said unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it came to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the rivers shall come, shall live, and there shall be a great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh. I'm going to preach for the next few moments the flow of healing waters. The flow of healing waters. I want the Lord to move in this place, don't you? Amen. Would you talk to him for a moment? Jesus, we need you. Oh God, we've got to have you tonight, Lord. You know every need in this house. God, you are all knowing tonight. You know what needs to be said. You know what needs to be done. God, I feel your presence in this place right now. Oh God, I feel the calling of your spirit tonight. And I pray that your word would go forth unfettered, unhindered, and it would accomplish that, Lord, that you have sent it to do tonight. that every chain would be broken and every wall would be torn down in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, let that anointing come which destroys every yoke of bondage, God. Open the blinded eyes that they might see in the Spirit here tonight, Jesus. I believe you'll give Him praise and give Him honor. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Thank you for doing it, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You may be seated. As is the case with many of the Old Testament prophets, Ezekiel spends much of his writing declaring God's judgment upon a backslidden and a disobedient Judah. Their actions had caused God to remove His glory from the temple in Jerusalem. God's gentle hand of protection would become His firm hand of correction. They had broken the covenant that God had made with them through Moses. And now judgment must come because of their disobedience. And yet before Ezekiel closes his book, like many other of the prophets that you read about in your Bible, he speaks on behalf of God in light of the Abrahamic covenant and of the Davidic covenant. And he declares hope and restoration for Judah's future. Chapter 40 begins a series of visions that Ezekiel has that depicts the return of the glory of God to his temple. And his accounting of this, as you noticed in just 9 verses, his accounting is very, very detailed. And many feel strongly that the things that he deals with will literally happen in the millennial reign of Christ. But tonight I am more interested in what we learn about God and about his ways from this narrative. I'm intrigued by the correlation between what we read in Ezekiel and what we read in the New Testament. And perhaps more importantly for tonight is how this affects us today. In this vision, Ezekiel is standing in the temple and he has gotten the grand tour of the temple that has been rebuilt. And he has witnessed the glory of God descending upon the sanctuary. He heard the voice of God in one chapter and he described it as the voice of many waters. My mind went to times standing below a great waterfall or one time below a dam as they let the water out and how loud that can be and how forceful and intimidating that noise can be. And he said when he heard the voice of God, it sounded like the voice of many waters. His tour guide brought him to the door of the temple after he gave him the tour. And in our text here, he is standing there at the door. And the water flowed out from under the threshold of the house. He was then led out of the temple gate there, and facing the east, he said he saw the water flowing again. And this man who had the line in his hand, who had the measuring line, he began to walk toward the east, and he measured 1,500 feet. And he brought Ezekiel to stand in ankle-deep water. And then he measured another 1,500 feet. And he brought Ezekiel again to stand with him. And this water was now to the knees. And you know the story, what we just read. But I want you to notice the progression here. The stages that he brought Ezekiel to. And he measured another 1,500 feet. And when he brought Ezekiel to that point, the water was up to his waist. And this final time, the measurement was taken And Ezekiel encountered waters that he could not pass over. These were now waters that you could swim in. Up to this point, Ezekiel had his footing. Up to this point, Ezekiel was able to manage on his own. He was able to do what he needed to do and go where he needed to go. He had full capacity over his location. He had his will involved. Where he needed to go, he was on footing. And we've all waded into water. And while thinking through this, I was reminded about a trip that we took to Colorado a few years ago. And some of my wife's family, we went floating down one of the rivers there. And we had never been there. And I'm used to floating where it takes 3 and 4 hours to get to where you're supposed to be. And the water was, it had been a rainy season, and the water was flowing very, very rapidly. And they didn't tell us. It was my brother-in-law. Did not tell us it would take us like 5 minutes. I do not exaggerate. It might have been 10, but it felt like 5 for sure. And all of a sudden, they're there on the bank. Here we are. Here's the exit, and we're on the other side of the water. And there was no way with the current. And so many of us passed up our exit, and the current got stronger. And things kind of started getting a little dicey because we had children on rafts, and the water was deeper. So if you've ever been in situations like that, you know how Daddy felt about right then. And so I went on past them. They had caught a hold of a branch, and they were trying to get off. It was just a kind of a frightening situation for many of them. And so I went on past and found a place that I could grab a hold of something and get off of the ramp or of the raft. And my intent was that if they came down to where I was, if they was not able to exit the raft, that I would try to stop them and help them. And there was another man there that was going to help. This water, I'm telling you, was flowing faster than you need it to on a fun rafting day, okay? And so I began to try to wade out into the water. And as it hit this thigh area here, I had trouble maintaining my balance and my footing. And I don't get too excited about things, but I was starting to get pretty nervous because I thought, if I can't hardly stand in this water, how am I going to stop a raft? And so you get the picture. But I knew that if it was any deeper than it was, there was no way that I could withstand against the force of the current that was pushing me. And that is a frightening place to be. When you know that just a slip of the rock. Amen. And I didn't know what was down on the other side. And so Ezekiel, he's in water that is still manageable until that last stretch. And then he encounters waters that he could not walk in, but waters that he could swim in. I'm reminded of something that Brother Justin Edmonds told me in a discussion about the Bible one time. His work prevented him from being here tonight, unfortunately. But he made this statement. He said, I don't want to just go with the flow. I want to learn what makes the flow happen. I want to know what's going on. And the man with the line looked at Ezekiel about this time, and he said, come back with me. I'm going to show you some things. That's my interpretation of what he said. That's the Okie lingo. I'm going to show you something. And he brings him back to the brink of the water, and along the river there are trees. And so the man begins to tell him about these trees. And he explained to him that this river would flow out of the temple of God down into the desert. And it would end up flowing into the sea. Now this sea, we know it as the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea is such because it has no outlet. It is not flowing. It has some water from the Jordan flowing into it, but it has no outlet. And so it is dead. It is surrounded by a very arid climate, very hot, very desert-like. And to this day, it is one of the more saltiest bodies of water. And because of this high salt level, of this salinity, fish and plants that you would normally see in bodies of water like this, they cannot grow. There is no life in the Dead Sea. And so you can imagine the significance of what this man is telling Ezekiel in this vision. The waters that will flow out of the house of God will bring healing to that which is dead. When these healing waters flow into the Dead Sea, the dead waters will be healed. You can read it. He goes on and explains how this is going to happen. Ezekiel 47:9. Let me read it again in your hearing. It shall come to pass that everything that liveth which moveth, whithersoever the rivers shall come, shall live. Shall live. There's going to be a great multitude of fish. Where? In a sea that cannot sustain living. Amen. Why is this going to happen? How is this going to happen? He said, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh. Wherever this river goes that flows out of the house of God, it's going to bring healing, and it's going to bring life, and it's, oh hallelujah, it's going to cause things that are dead to live again. Amen. It's God's river. Everything that God does is good. He specializes in taking that which is dead, that which is hopeless, that, oh hallelujah, that which you can't do anything with, and he puts his finger on it, and he lets his river flow into it, and suddenly out of death becomes life. He goes on to describe how fishermen would be lined up. And he taught, the scripture there uses a couple names, city names. It's kind of hard to pronounce, so I looked them up. And basically, it's a city that's on the top end of the Dead Sea, and it's one that's on the bottom end. And he said, you're gonna see something you've never seen before. You're gonna see fishermen casting their nets upon the water from one end of the sea unto the other, because there's going to be all kinds of fish. Oh, hallelujah. Ooh, hallelujah. In a sea where there was no fish before, when God's waters flow, there's going to be a healing that takes place. Praise God. God has a solution for that which is dead. Can I preach to somebody today? It doesn't matter what your life is looking like. It doesn't matter what kind of relationships are dead. What? Oh, hallelujah. It doesn't matter what you're experiencing right now. What's going on in your mind right now. As I preach, the healing waters of God are beginning to flow into those dead places. Zechariah prophesied about healing waters several occasions in 13:1. He said, in that day shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. This was going to be a cleansing fountain because God is interested in bringing to life those that are dead. Joel prophesies of a time when a fountain shall come forth of the house of God and shall water the valley of Shittim. The psalmist said, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of our God, the holy habitation of the Most High. I don't know all the literal interpretations and meanings and prophetic future of Ezekiel's vision or what all is going to happen during that millennial reign of Christ. But I do know that when I received the gift of the Holy Ghost, that my body became the temple of the living God, the house where God now dwells. Apostle Paul said, know ye not that your body, that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. So when I'm filled with His Spirit, then out of my body, out of this temple shall flow rivers of living water. Jesus said, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. If you've come here dead in your soul, something's died within you, I'm telling you, God is able and is willing to make you alive again. Is it any wonder that in John chapter 7, Jesus stood and cried, if any man thirst, are you thirsty today? Let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly, ooh, hallelujah, shall flow rivers of living. I'm telling you, everything God does, he makes alive. Everything he does, he makes it good. And so, I feel like perhaps I'm preaching to some that are here tonight. You feel empty inside. You feel dead inside. Maybe you wouldn't have described it like that, but it's resonating with you today. Something's dead in me. I'm not alive. I don't have anything to live for. I don't have anything to wake up in the morning for. Jesus has healing waters. You can drink here tonight. Amen. His waters satisfy. Oh, hallelujah. The bar doesn't satisfy. It'll make you thirsty again when you wake up enough to realize it. Oh, hallelujah. The places of the world, they do not satisfy. The recreation of the world does not fill that void, that emptiness, that loneliness. I know what it's like to be among people and still feel lonely. You know what it's like to be among friends and still feel friendless and still feel lonely. Something's missing in my life. Something's not right. I'm telling you, what you need is the healing waters that come from God. Oh, hallelujah. He sent a preacher here to tell you, you need his healing waters. He's got water that satisfies. Hallelujah. You know, we have a fear. We have a fear of the deep. We have a fear of going places that we cannot control. Rightfully so. And there's something about stepping off into deep water. If you cannot swim, that is a fearful and a frightful thing. I'm just going to tell you, the unknown can be something to fear. When you're not sure. And I feel like there's somebody here tonight that feels some trepidation. You know you need something from God. You know that's where the answer is. You've tried everything else. But the fear of taking that step and losing control and saying, God, not my will, but yours be done. Hallelujah. You see, when we get out of ankle deep water and out of knee deep water, we get out to where the current is. We get out to where the power is. Amen. I'll tell you what, I'm gonna do my best to flow in the Spirit for a little while. Is that all right? Amen. But we've got to learn. We've got to learn how to flow in the Holy Ghost. We've got to learn how to not be fearful of jumping into deep waters where we lose our control. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Where we step out of our comfort zone and we're in a place where we might feel intimidated. But some of you are saying, God, I want to be used. God, I want to do something for you. And I was in my office right before service and it hit me. There's a fear of that deep place. But you're not going to get anywhere with God where you want to be if you're satisfied in ankle deep water. You're not going to get what you need from God if you're satisfied keeping control of where you're at. Just putting your toe in and feeling a little bit and feeling the temperature and getting a little blessing here and a blessing there. But there's got to be a desire in you. There's got to be a hunger in you. Young person, there's got to be something that consumes you and said, I want more than a shallow experience. That won't take me very far, but I want an experience that'll help me wake up on Monday morning and I can get it all over again. Oh, I hope this is making sense to somebody here today. But God wants to take somebody beyond any place you've ever been before. He wants to take you to a place in prayer like you've never experienced before. He wants to take to a place in prayer. I'm telling you, it's frightful when you feel the dynamic presence of God. Ezekiel heard the voice of God and it sounded like many waters, but you gotta trust in God and say, God, here I am. I'm jumping in the deep places, God. Take me there in the Spirit. I want to be where the water's flowing. I want to be where the current is. I want to be where the power is. We have the water of life. And everywhere we go, I don't know, I just see it. My imagination, as if the church is a part of that river. Bear with me here for a moment. And we walk in dry places at times. And we meet people who's got deadness on the inside. We meet people who are hurting. We work with people whose life's in shambles. And what they need is the healing waters of God. And I feel like God would try to give some revelation to somebody here today that might feel intimidated to move into that place. But you're gonna be in some encounters where some people are gonna say some things that might surprise you. You're gonna be in some conversations where they're gonna bare their heart to you and they're gonna confide in you because they feel like they can trust you. And you've gotta let God flow through you. You've gotta let God give you the words to say and He'll do it. You've got to let God give you that boldness to begin to speak the words of life unto them. To begin to, oh hallelujah, and to let the waters from the house of God. There's people hurting today. They need healing waters to flow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't we lift our hands right here and just love God for a moment. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let there be a boldness in the Holy Ghost, God. Let there be a boldness in the Holy Ghost. Come on, I want you to talk to the Lord. Say, God, I want to be used. I want to be effective in your kingdom. God, I want to be a part of what you're doing. I want to allow those healing waters to flow. God, don't let it stop in me. Don't let it be stifled. Don't let me dam it up with my unbelief and my carnality. But God, I want things cleared out. I want the sin and uncleanness to clear out so that your waters can flow through me, so that you can do a work at this end time. Amen, amen. Let's stand. I don't feel like I'm going to preach very long here. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm telling you that if you're in this house and you're looking for answers and you don't know which way to turn and you don't know what to do, you're in the right place for the healing waters. Come on, the church is helping me right now. The healing waters flow from the house of God. There's something you won't find on the street corner. There's something you won't find at the psychiatrist. There's something you won't find at the doctor. But there's healing waters. There's waters for a broken marriage. There's waters for a broken heart. God has healing waters for you. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, he wants to take that which is dead and make it live again. He specializes in things that are impossible. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, God is calling you right now. God is calling you right now. You feel the drawing of the Spirit. Let him take you out to a place in the deep that you've never been before. Let him take you to a place where the healing waters can flow over you and where God can help you. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know what it's like to walk into a service with my heart hurting, feeling broken and undone. And the preacher began to preach and I began to feel something. And those places that felt dead in me, they were parched and thirsty. I began to feel the presence of the Lord. And I understood that God loved me. I understood that God's merciful unto me. Ezekiel spent most of his book predicting judgment from God. Or explaining why they were experiencing the corrective hand of God in their life. But he spent the rest of his book prophesying mercy. And letting them know that God wanted to restore and wanted to heal. I feel the healing power of God in this place right now. I don't know what it is that you need in this house. It may be saint or it may be sinner, but I feel the healing waters flowing in this house right now. I wonder if the church could help me pray. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Sir, you came looking for something. You came with questions in your mind I'm telling you, you came to the right place, and it's the right time. God is here, and He's wanting to help you in ways that you could never imagine. He's wanting to help you in ways that you never dreamed were possible. Perhaps your dreams have died in you, and you thought it just could never happen. I'm telling you, God specializes in waking the dead and bringing life to the dead right now. I'm telling you, God wants to help you. Church, I'm finished, and I want to give all of us right now an opportunity to just come to the front. Why don't you ask a neighbor to come with you? We're gonna gather around these altars right now. This is the way I feel to do it. We're gonna gather around these altars and begin to pray. I feel like the Lord is wanting to flow some waters over you right now. Come on, there's some things that God wants to do in your heart, in your life, in your spirit. Oh God, have your way in me, Jesus. Have your way in me, Jesus. That's it. Come as close as you can. Make room for others right now. And then begin to reach out to God. God, I don't want ankle deep water. I don't want knee deep water. But God, I want to get in where the current is flowing. God, I need a renewing of the Holy Ghost tonight. Come on, that's the key. That's the key to letting the Lord have His way. Is getting a renewing of the Spirit. So the waters will flow out of your belly. A river of living water. Oh, that's it. Every young person, you ought to leave full of the Holy Ghost. Every middle-aged person, you ought to leave full of the Holy Ghost. Come on, everybody, we need to get in and flow with the Spirit and see what all God would do. Oh, yes. Come on, let Him do a work in you right now. You're here on purpose. It's not by accident. But the Holy Ghost wants to help you. God is your Savior. And He wants to save you. And He wants to help you. He wants to heal you. That's it. That's it. Don't be afraid to let God have His way right now. Don't be fearful. God's trying to help you. God's trying to help you right now. Oh, Jesus. Jesus.